The Shabbos is Parshas Tzav. Rashi writes in the opening pasuk on Parshas Tzav. He quotes from the Tanoim, "Ein loshen tzava, loshen ziris miyad uledoris." Mitzvah is a technical term. Sometimes there are dinim in the chumash that are only haruah shor, but whenever the word mitzvah appears, it means that it's really a din ledoris. Parshas Tzav is always Shabbos Hagadol, and one of the reasons for this is that you have in this week's sedra the dinim of Hagadol. Years ago, people didn't have separate pots and pans for Pesach and separate for all year long. So they used to kasha, and those are the Gemara. They used to kasha all the chametzdikah pots for Pesach. So the dinim of Hagol appear in today's sedra with respect to a korban chatas. If you cook the korban chatas in a pot, so you have to have marika ushtifa. Marika means you have to, the Gemara says marika ushtifa. Marika means bechamen, you do Hagol, and ushtifa means betzainen. For Hagola, you don't need tzaynin. We have a minig that whenever we do Hagola on a tray for pot, so we rinse it off with cold water afterwards. And Tosus and the Le'ez Daf and Avodah Zarah asks, what is that based on? What is that minig based on? In Hilchas Hagola, in the Gemara, it never appears. So Tosus says they think it's a zecher to the days of the Beis Hamikdash. Days of the Beis Hamikdash, the pasuk says if you would cook a korban chatos in a pot, you would have to have mariko shtifa, even though the Hagolah, the Roischin, is good enough to take out the Treif of Lee, but it's a mitzvah. You have to do the Mariko Shtif in the Azara also. Usually there's no din, you have to do Hagolah in the Shul. But here it's a mitzvah. Mariko Shtif is a mitzvah. The Gemara raises an issue, the last daf in Avodah Zarah. How come here it only says Hagolah? Mariko Shtif is Hagolah. How come in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, after the Mochemes Midyon, the Bnei Yisrael captured all of the Treif of pots and pans from the Midianim army, from the soldiers. So there it says, if the broiler was used to broil trefa meats on it, you have to do libun. And if they cooked the trefa soup in a pot, you have to do hagola. How come over here it only mentions hagola, doesn't mention libun? So the Gemara has two answers, Abai v'Rava. Whenever there's machlokes Abai v'Rava, we usually pass kind of like Rava, except for the six cases. This is not one of the six cases. Abai uses a melitza. Abai says, Yagad Olav Reo. Yagad Olav Reo is an expression that comes from Sefer Iyov. He says, once you learn the parsha in the end of Bamidbar, and the Chumash Bamidbar, that you sometimes need Hagolah, sometimes Libun, so that sheds light on what it says in today's parsha, that it's not always sufficient with Mariko Shtifa. Sometimes if you broiled the chatos in a broiler, you'll have to have Libun. And we don't pass like Abai, we pass like Rava. That there's a difference, that by Klei Midyon it's Isura Bola, and over here it's Hetera Bola. When I broil the Korban Chatos on the broiler, everything was kosher. If I'll eat up the whole Chatos, Chatos Nechel Yom Elaylo at Chatzos, the Kohanim will eat up the whole Chatos, then they'll wash off the pot. The Bli in the pot will become treif when it comes tomorrow morning. Even at the time that I cooked it, everything was kosher. But the blei in the pot will turn into noisa. You see from the chumash that a nisa can be chal on a blei in a pot. Let's say I cook the chametz in a pot all year long, and then it comes Erev Pesach afternoon, or comes a Yontav Pesach. So the chametz dik a blei in the pot all year long was kosher. But when it comes Pesach, then it becomes treif. So that's what Rava says. Rava says there's a difference between today said, here it said terabola, so therefore Hagola is sufficient. And in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, we're talking about Isurabola, there you have to have a Libun. What's the Svar Lechalek? Why is there a difference between Heterabola and Isurabola? So the accepted interpretation is that that the Ran gives. The Ran on the Rif on Chulin. So there's a very long Ran. In the end of Perik Kolabasar, there's a long run. There's no riff on that page. They run to cover the whole page. So he has a lot to say about Tam Ki Iker and Hetem and Star Felisa, about everything. So he gives the following explanation. If you have a treifa broiler that really needs libun, and you did Hagola instead, so it knocks out 98% of the treifa bleel will be removed. Only a little bit will remain, because you were really supposed to do libun. So the slight bleel that remains is an Isa Kolosh. So if the Itzisura Bola, if it was treif, like Klei Midyon, the Midyonim used it for Nevelos, the treifus, and Behemoth Meyo, the Tam Kolish is enough to retain a Nisa. But if it's a Hetera Bala, like over here in today's Sedra, I broiled the Korban Chatos on it, and the Kohanim eat it, so that's a Hetera Bala. And then the Kohanim finish eating it by Chatzos, then they wash off the pot, and you have the Bliya in the pot. So the Bliya is only a Tam Kolish in the pot. Then you want it when it comes tomorrow morning, Alos HaShachar, it's Nifsal Belina, turns into Noisa, so Anisa can't be Chal, Vilachatchila, on the Tam Kolish. If the Isa already was Chal, when it's a Tam Bari, when it's a strong flavor, the Anisa will remain, even though I knocked out 98% of the Bli, it's only left the Tam Kolish, the Isa will remain. But Anisa can't be Chal in the first place on a Tam Kolish. So the Ran says this discrepancy between Parshas Tzav and where's the other one? In Matas Masay, I forgot already where it is, about Giuli Klei Midyon. In Masay. And the answer, the explanation that a Tam, Anisa cannot be Chal on a Tam Kolish, Anisa cannot be Chal on a Tam Bari, is also the explanation for another din in the Gemara that we call Nat by Nat, Nois and Tam by Nois and Tam. Nat by Nat means the following the Gemara has. Let's say I have a part of a fish, and I fried the fish, it's burning hot, and I take and I put it on a fleshig plate, a cold fleshig plate. So it takes a blia from the fleshig plate. But the fleshig blia in the plate, or the fleshig pot, is a tam rishon, it's only in the sinas tam. Then when the tam rishon goes from the fleshig plate into the fish, it's only a tam sheni. So it's a nice and tam by nice and tam. So then later on, I want to know, am I allowed to eat that fish with milk? So the Gemara says, hetagami, you can cook the fish with milk because it's a nois and tam by nois and tam. If you have something, treifos, cooked in a pot, and then I wash out the pot, I didn't do hagol, I wash out the pot, and then I pour, and then I cook water, and I pour the burning hot water into another pot that makes the other pot treif. And then I spill out that water, and I cook new water in the pot I pour it from the second pot into the third pot. So not by not, by not, by not, is also by Yisura Bola. If it started off as being treif, even though not by not, there's only a tam kolish is sufficient to retain a nisa. But you cannot have melech atchila, a nisa cannot be chal on a tam kolish. So there are two types, two examples that the Gemara has of tam kolish. One is if you did hagola on a pot that really needs libun, so all you have left is a tam kolish. So that's why over here in the parsha, there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, when are you supposed to do the Merikah Shtifa? If you cook the Korban Chatas in the pots, it says you do Merikah Shtifa. When do you do it? So the Rambam writes that you do Merikah Shtifa, Ekev Achilo, Ayin Kuf Beis, Ekev Achilo. The Ravid writes, I'm not sure what the word Ekev means. Where did the Rambam invent such a word? He didn't invent it. It says, V'hoya Ekev Tishmiyun. Why did the Rambam use the word Ekev over here? Apparently the Rambam Rav Soloveitchik said, apparently the Rambam thinks V'hoya Ekev Tishmiyun doesn't only mean Schar V'yoynish, if you'll keep the mitzvahs, God will reward you. So it doesn't only mean God will reward you, Ekev, Biglal, Kiyam HaMitzvahs, you will get Schar, Ekev means immediately following the Kiyam HaMitzvah, right after you do the mitzvah, take it from Yad, right after. So the Rambam uses the Lashon, after the Kohanim finish eating the Korban Chatas today, they don't wait till it becomes nicer till tomorrow morning, and then they go to do Merikah Shtifa. If they wait till it becomes nicer, then it's Yisura Bola already. So then it's not going to help if they're going to do Hagola instead of Liban. You have to do the Hagola when it's still Hetera Bola, Ekev Achili, immediately after the Achili, before it becomes nicer. So all you have left is a Tam Kolush, because you should have done Liban, and instead you did Hagola, and a Tam Kolush, the Yisra Noisa can't be Chal. But if you wait till the morning, Isa will be chal, then it's not going to help, according to the Rambam, then the Hagol is not going to help if he really needed Liban. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. Ravid has a totally different shita. Tosfos and Zvachim has the two opinions. Tosfos has 2 days. When do you do the Merikah Shtifa? Before it becomes nicer, or only in the morning after it becomes nicer? The Ravid and the other opinion of Tosfos hold, it doesn't make sense that Torah should give you a mitzvah to do Merikah Shtifa, to do Hagol, when everything is still kosher. It must be you have to wait till after it becomes nicer, then you do the Merikah Shtifa. But the Rambam doesn't learn like that. The Ran learns like the Rambam, that not by not, the Heter is Mutter, the Isur is Aser, because not by not is only a Tam Kolish. Tam Kolish is sufficient to retain an Isur, if it's already Aser. So not by not, the Isur is Aser. But not by not, Heter is Mutter, because an Isur can't be Chal Melech HaTchila on a Tam Kolish. So the Gemara tells us that in Eretz Yisrael, the days of the Gemara, the practice was in Eretz Yisrael, they had a 3-year cycle. They would lane only 1/3 of the parsha every week. Then next week they would lane the 2/3. Next week the 3/3. It would take 3 times as long. Instead of finishing the whole Sefer Torah once a year, every year on Simchas Torah, they would finish the whole Sefer Torah once every 3 years, and the celebration would float from Pesach to Shavuos to Sukkot, and there were different piyutim. Like we have always piyutim for Simchas Torah, for the Siyam of the Sefer Torah. And the days of the Gemara, they had printed the piyutim that they used to recite when the Simchas Torah took place on Shavuos, what took place on Sukkot. And in Babel, the practice was that they finished the whole Sefer Torah in 1 year. It was a 1-year cycle. So once it became a 1-year cycle, so we always arranged it that Parsha Tzav is always the Shabbos before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, and that's one of the reasons why, because the Parsha talks about Mariko Shtifa. That's what in the days of the Gemara, till very recently, people didn't have separate pots and pans for Pesach. Everybody, they didn't have separate silverware either. They would kasher everything look like Pesach. So chametz all year long, that's a big machlekes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that chametz all year long is hetera bala. Everything is kosher. So you never have to do libun before Pesach. You never have to libun, hagol is always enough. Because if you do hagol on a kli that needs libun, all that's going to be left is going to be a tam kolish. And an isa can't be chal on a tam kolish. When it comes there at Pesach in the afternoon, when the Isra Chometz is Chal, or Pesach at night, Leil Pesach, whenever the Isra Chometz is Chal, so then it cannot be Chal on a Tam Kolish. And the Ramban disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. He says, what do you mean? Chometz Shmai Olav, by Basa B'cholav. Let's say I have a broiler that I always use to broil meat. Now I want to make it parva. So the meat was not treif. The meat is Hatera Bola. I want that I should broil fish on the same broiler, be able to use the fish. I want to broil cheese on the broiler, let's say. So whenever it's a terabola, then hagola would be enough. Even though if you would broil trefa meats, you would need libun, but since the meat is kosher, so hagola should be enough. You should never need libun. There's a shach in Yeridea, and this is the beginning of the second chelik Yeridea, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about kashering trefa pots. So the shach writes, if it's a broiler, and you broil meat on it, or you broil cheese on it, then you need libun. So Rabbi Kevega says he doesn't understand why do you need libun. That's mamash terabola. The meat before it comes in contact with the milk, or the cheese before it comes in contact with the meat, is literally a terabola. So the psak hamakubal is, so the rashash tries to defend the shach. The shach lived in Vilna, the rashash lived in Vilna also, a few hundred years apart from each other, but he tries to defend the shach. But we don't pass like the shach. The reason Paschim also said we pass like Rabbi Kivega, that a fleshik pot or a kosher milchik broiler that should really need the libun. So if it's a terabola, it's enough with hagol. So chametz kedem haPesach, that's the big machlekes. Rabbi Natan has a steer between two gemaras. He says the teretz is that for Pesach you never have to do libun. It's always good enough with hagol. And the Ramban disagrees. He says not the same. Meat before it comes in contact with the milk doesn't have a shame iser. Or the korb mechatos, if you broil the korb mechatos on the broiler today, it's not called noiser till it comes in the morning. But chametz all year long, chametz shmai olav, chametz is chametz all year long. It's not that on Erev Pesach after chatzos it becomes chametz. It was always chametz, but chametz was mutter. But since chametz shmai olav, it already has a shame chametz on it, so it's not considered the. Not considered heterabal, it's considered isurabal. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a stira. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a contradiction that all the Neisei Kelim ask. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you cooked, let's say, applesauce in a chametzdik pot, I have a pot where I cook spaghetti. And it's a chametzdik pot. I just cooked spaghetti this morning. I washed out the pot and it's clean. And then in the afternoon, I cook applesauce. And I didn't mix in any chametz. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, you can use that applesauce on Pesach, because it's not banata hetera. It's not banata hetera, because he passes like the Rabbi Natan. The chametz kadim at Pesach is hetera bola, so the kula of not banata applies. So if he holds like the Rabbi Natan, he should have said that you never need libun on chametz de kekelim. So then he goes and he passes that on a baking tin, that you need libun on a baking tin for Pesach, hagol is not good enough. The only thing the Shulchan Aruch is mekalan is, if you have, let's say, a frying pan, and you did tigun, if you have a frying pan and you do deep fry, you have a couple of inches deep of oil, so that's bishul. So that's not the afiyah, that's bishul. So if you use it for treifas, then hagola would be sufficient. But if you just pour in a little bit of oil that it shouldn't burn, you don't have a deep fry. So that's machlekes, but the tigun, when you did tigun, whether you need the libun or hagola. So the Shulchan Aruch is mekel that l'kovet Pesach, hagola is enough, because Rabbeinu Tam holds that you never need libun l'kovet Pesach. And even though we're machmal like the Rabban, you do need libun, but it's like a svek sveke. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you never libun for Pesach, and even if you hold like the Ramban, maybe a frying pan is enough with hagola, because you do have a little bit of oil. So that's all the mechaber is mekel on. But it's a steer in the mechaber. The mechaber says that for Pesach he do need libun, because we hold like the Ramban, and it's Yisura Bala. And then the Mechaber says, not by not the Heteris, Mutar and Pesach. If you cook the applesauce in the Chomet Bikit pot where you cook the spaghetti, even though it's the same day, it's a Ben Yomo, it's Mutar and Pesach, because not by not is Mutar by Heter Bala. So that's a stira. So the Pashtus, for centuries, it was always, till the Chavetz Chaim came along and put out a Mishnah Berurah. So for centuries, it was always assumed that the Shulchan Aruch really paskins, Meikar Adin, Chametz Kodem HaPesach is Hetera Bola, and he threw in a Churma to be Cheshish for the Ramban. But the Mishnah Berurah turned everything upside down. He says, no, that since the Shulchan Aruch was Machmed, that you need Libun, so you should be Machmed that the Nat Banat is L'chumer. You're going to be Machmed that the Nat Banat is L'chumer, then you can't kasher Chametz Dike Kelim when they're Ben Yomo. That's a Tosis on the last daf in Avodah Zarah. Tosis raises a problem. Whenever you have a tray for fork or knife and you do a Hagola, so the treif of bliya goes from the fork and the knife into the water. What's to prevent the bliya from coming back into the fork and the knife? So if the treif of kli is ein ben yomo, so min ha-toyre it's mutter, because it's in tam levgam. So why do you have to kash with it all? That's a gzera min the rabbanu, gzera ein ben yomo, otam ben yomo. So Tosfos says that chumra, the gzera ein ben yomo, otam ben yomo, was only instituted where the bliya in the first place was, tchidus ha-bliya was l'shvach. When the fork became treif, or the pot became treif, it was nosen tam l'shvach. It turned it into nosen tam l'vgam. But then if you do a hagola, the treif of bliya ein ben yomo will go into the water. Nothing preventing it from coming back into the treif of kli. Used to be treif, but now tchidus ha-bliya is going to be l'vgam. So if tchidus ha-bliya is going to be l'vgam, then you don't have to worry. The only time you have to be machmer on a kli she'ein ben yomo is if tchidus ha-bliya was l'shvach and you never kashed it. Once you kashed and the bliya goes into the water, comes back in, Chilas Ablil is Levgam, it's not a problem. Or let's say you're gonna kasha the kli when it is Ben Yomo. So the Chilas Ablil is going to go into the water, is going to come back into the pot that used to be treif. So then it's going to become treif again. So Tyson says, if you know for sure you have shishim in the water against the whole volume of the fork or the knife or the pot, so the treif Ablil will go into the water, al yideh hagola will be bottled by shishim. Then when it comes back into the kli that used to be treif, it'll be batel b'shishim already, so it won't pose a problem. So how does that help? So that's only if you have shishim in the water. So Tosfos writes that on Erev Pesach, in the morning, if you go to Kasha, treifik, chomz dikekelim, Erev Pesach in the morning, before the Zman Iser, you don't have to be careful about Eri Ben Yomo, you don't have to be careful about Shishim. You don't have to worry, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that. You don't have to worry about Shishim, you don't have to worry about Eri Ben Yomo, because Chometz Kodem HaPesach is Hetera Bola. So the Bliya, the Chometz Dikah Bliya will go from the Chometz Dikah Keli into the water, nothing preventing it from coming back in, but when it comes back in, there is no Shishim, and it is still a Ben Yomo, but it's going to be a not by not by not. There's a Nesinas Tam, there was a Chametz Dikah flavor in the Chametz Dikah pot, the spaghetti pot. Then the Chametz Dikah flavor goes into the water, then it comes back from the water into the pot. That's a not by not by not. So even though the Ramoz Machma by not like they bishul, Ramoz Machma, let's say, if you cooked, we said Dogm Shol of a Kairo, the Gemara says that then if you have a burning hot part of a fish, and you put it on a cold fleshy pot, So it'll get a bliya from the fleshy part. It's not going to get that much of a bliya because the fleshy part is cold. It'll get a little bit of a bliya. So when the bliya goes from the fleshy part into the fish, that's called not by not. So the Ramah is machmer, what if I cooked the fish in a fleshy part? So that's a not by not ayde bishul. So that doesn't have the din of not by not. But if it's not by not by not ayde bishul, then all the bishanim are mekel. So that's how we do hagola all the time. If you do hagola on a fleshy kli or a milchi kli to bake it parva, or you do hagola on a chametzik kli kodem haPesach, so the chametzik kli and the kli is tamrishon. Then you do hagola and you don't have shishim in the water. Chametzik kli is going to go into the water. That's going to be tamsheni. It's the Pesach, then there's going to nothing preventing the bliya from going back into the kli. It's going to be not by not by not. Even though it's like de bishul, everything is burning hot water. Everything is hot, the pot is hot, and the water is hot, everything is hot. But that's what the Shach quotes when the Shainim is not by not by not, like de bishul. Even the Ramah agrees that it's mutter. So that's what it said for centuries. Everybody followed that shita for centuries. You can kasha the chametz de kekelim. Koidim is mani suro, even though the chametz de kekelim are ben yomo, even though it's the spaghetti pot that I used within the last 24 hours, and even though you don't have shishim in the water, because it's going to be a not by not by not al yidei bishul. And that not by not is mutter, even by chametz koidim ha-pesach. So the Mishnah Brura came 100 years ago, and he reversed the psak ha-mekubal for centuries. He got away with it. He got away with it. So in all the books now, it says that you shouldn't kasha chametz de kekelim until you wait till it's ayna ben yomo. Same as treifas. For centuries, no one observed it like that. And there are a lot of people today who are not happy. Why the Mishnah Berurah reversed the psak ha-mekubal? That was the accepted psak, that chametz koidim ha-pesach really is a terebola, and not by not is mutter. We only threw in a little chumrah to be choshish for the Ramban, when they get to Libun, that you should require Libun on a baking tin. You shouldn't say it's sufficient with Hagolah. But not banat, the Shulchan Aruch said, is mutter. And this whole idea, not banat the heter is mutter, not banat the isur is also, they got it from Rava's answer to the stira between the two psukim. That in Parsha Sabbat only talks about Mariko Shtifa, never says a word about Libun. And by Klei Midyon, at the end of in Parsha's Matos, when it says that they kasha Klei Midyon, so it says some of them know how to do Liban, and some of them Hagola was sufficient. So the answer is because by the Klei Midyon it was Yisura Bola, here it was Hetera Bola. So by Hetera Bola, Anisa cannot be Chal if the Tam is only a Tam Kolosh. That's all based on the Pesukim in Chumash. Then when the Torah writes the dinim of doing Bariko Shtifa on Kli Nechoshes, on metal kelim, so the Chumash says to Kli Cheres, if you cook the Nichol Cheres, Hagola doesn't help. Yishaver, what do you mean Yishaver? There's another din. If a Kli becomes Tomei, you can be Tovelet in a Mikveh. So Tvila in a Mikveh is good for metal kelim, for wooden kelim, but for earthenware kelim, Tefillah b'mikveh does not. So the Torah says, Yishaver, if you break the kli, then it doesn't retain any tumah anymore. A broken kli is not, shibre kelim is not not mekabel tumah. And even if it was tamei from before, once you smash it, it no longer has tumah. So if you break it, then you glue it back together again, so it won't have any tumah. But in today's Seder, it says, if you have a kli cheres that you cook the korban chatas in, Yishaver doesn't mean you break it, and then you glue it back together again, then you can use it. No. The Kli Cheres HaGola doesn't help, so it doesn't help if you're going to break it, if you're going to crack it, it doesn't help. The same word, Yishaver, but it means two different things. By Kli Cheres that became Nitma, Yishaver, you break it, it becomes tor. But today said Yishaver means you throw it in the garbage, because Yishaver, you can't use it, there's no way to make it kosher. The Gemara said the Pharisee though that Libun does help. If you do Libun on the Kli Cheres, it does help. So that's a shiloh. All the Rishonim is how you talk in the Gemara. How Torah hid al kol cheres sheni yetsi me deidofio di yoylum. Torah says that you can't kasher it. So the Rishonim give two different answers. So the Balei HaTosfos say, if you're going to do libun on earthenware kelim, that's how you manufacture earthenware kelim. You take mud, and you make a shape of a kli, then you put it in a oven, in a kiln, K-I-L-N, that has a very, very high temperature, and you burn it out, and you convert it from kli adama to kli cheres. Before you put it in the oven, it's called kli adama, not mekabel tumah, kli gelodim, kli avodim, kli adama, are the three materials that are just not mekabel tumah at all. But after you bake it out in the oven at a very high temperature, then it has the status of a kli cheres, then it is mekabel tumah. It is mekabel tumah from the inside, not from the outside, and it doesn't have any tara b'mikveh. So because baking it in the oven, burning it out in the oven, is the way you manufacture earthenware kelim. So Tosfos says, if you have treifa kli cheres, and you put it, you do a libun on it, it's considered parim chadashes ba'olakan. It's considered a new kli. So that's a pella. What does it help parim chadash ba'olakan? But it still has the treifa bliya. Still has the treifa bliya. Hatorah hid al kli cheres, that you will not succeed in getting the treifa bliya out. So how come you're allowed to use it to cook kosher food? So the Tosfos seems to be of the opinion that not banat the yisura is mutar min haTorah. If you have a treifa pot and you cook kosher food in it, the kosher food becomes treif because of tam kiyikah. So the Prima Gaudim has a whole discussion. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? When the Torah says that when the Jewish army was victorious against the Midianim, and they captured all the pots and pans, and they had to kasher them, they had to kasher them because if they wouldn't kasher it, and they'd cook kosher soup in the treifa pot, the kosher soup would become treif. That's not banat. But it's not banat the yisura. The pot is clean now, but a treifa bliya. I'm going to cook kosher food, so that it's going to be a not banat. The treifa bliya in the walls of the pot, they're going to go into the kosher soup. So not banat the yisura is an isa deraisa. That's why the Torah says you have to kasher the treifa pots, not to make treif the food, and maybe no. Maybe not banat the yisura is only an isa derabanan. Maybe this whole explanation that we gave, an iser cannot be chal on a tam kolish, but if the iser was chal on a tam bari, and then it became a tam kolish, it's enough to retain an iser. Maybe that's only midirabban. Maybe min haTorah not bar not the iser is also mutter. I said, why does the Torah say you have to kasher the treif pot? No, it's a mitzvah. It's not right to cook kosher food at a treif pot, but it's not that min haTorah it's going to make the kosher food treif. So that's the Prima Gaudim quote such an appearance. Apparently, Tosfos thinks like that. Otherwise, you don't understand Tosfos. What did Tosfos say? Hagola doesn't help to take out the treif of bliya from the kli cheres. Atorah hid al kli cheres, and yotz mi deid yofyo li oilam. You'll never succeed in getting out all the treif of bliya. But if you do libun, it's mutter to use it for kosher food because panam chadash ba'olakan. It's considered a new kli because that's the way you manufacture earthenware kelim. You manufacture kli cheres by baking them out in the. What is the panam chadash ba'olakan? But it still has the treif of bliya in it. Apparently, Tosfos seems to hold that not by not the Yisur is only the Rabbanim because High Governor, they were never Geizer. It's considered a Panim Chadoshes. The Balatanya assumes that we don't paskin like Tosfos. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. He says, we don't paskin like that, Tosfos. We assume the answer that the Rishonim, that the other Rishonim give, the Ra'oh, and the Beder Kabayis, gives a different answer. HaTorah Hidah Kli Cheres Sheina Yotze Midei Dofio Liolam. Hagola will not succeed in removing all of the treifa. Some of the treifa bliya will come out from the kli cheres, but it will not succeed in bringing out all of the treifa bliya. But libun is not functioning based on getting the treifa bliya to come out. Libun accomplishes that it's sorfa b'mkomo. It burns the treifa bliya when it's in the pot. So you don't have to be motzi midei dofio. You have to take out the treifa bliya. Tosfos apparently understood that libun works just like Hagola, the burning hot water, draws out the treifa bliya. So Tosfos assumes that the fire also, the heat of the fire, draws out the treifa bliya. And there are in the Beder Kabayis, that's the opinion that we have accepted. The Avnei Nezer says, the Balatanya was way before the Avnei Nezer. He was in the 1700s. Avnei Nezer died early 100 years ago, in the early 1900s he died. But he quotes, he assumes that we pass on like the Ra'on Beder Kabayis. That libun works not because it's motzi, the bliya from the pot, but rather because it's sorfa b'mkomo. That's why there's another major difference between hagola and libun. Let's say, below a certain degree temperature is considered tzaynin. And when you reach a certain degree temperature, yatza letters, that's considered chamin. So there's only a bliya b'chamin. There's no bliya b'tzaynin. How much is yatza letters bo? That it should be chamin. So that's a question that's not so clear. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's somewhere between 140 and 160 degrees Fahrenheit. Lemaisa, the kashrus organizations in America are machmer from 120 on, even though there's probably a chumra. Pashta says that it should be way above 120. In the Sefer Shmini Shabbos Kol Chosa, he says you should be machmer from 114 degrees and up. Where do you get the gematria 114 degrees Fahrenheit? What is that? Can I get what? That's how old Rav Steinman was when he passed away. He was 113 or something. Where did he get 113? So the Gemara has a machlokes in the first perek in Chulin. When you shecht an animal, so the neck is very hot. So the Gemara has a machlokes, let's say I shecht an animal with a trefa knife. Is the neck, the base hashchita is the neck, is the base hashchita rosech? Is it so hot that it's yatzo ledes? So if I shecht with a trefa knife, the trefa bli will go from the knife into the flesh by the neck, and it'll make a treif. But maybe beis hashchita is tzayna. Maybe it's not hot enough. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's beis hashchita tzayna. It's not beis hashchita reser. It's not hot enough that it should be considered yatzalas. How hot is the neck when you shecht? So different animals have a different degree temperature when you shecht them. So apparently the hottest kosher animal that you can shecht, the hottest the neck ever gets is a goose. When you shecht the goose, so the neck is going to be 113, something like that. And the Gemara had a machlekes where the beis hashchita is rasech, and the Gemara came to the maskana that it's tzaynet, it's not yatzal letters. So you only know up until 113. Maybe 114 is yatzal letters. It's a little bit humorous. 114 is really yatzal letters. 114, the body temperature is 98 point, whatever it is. You can barely, if you touch someone who has 99 degrees, 100 degrees, you can't even feel that it's different from your own body. Body temperature is 98 degrees. You touch something that's 114, you can barely feel that it's lukewarm. It's a little bit warmer than the body temperature. It's 15 degrees high. Hardly you can feel it at all. That's quite a chumrah. That's quite a chumrah. But so the kashrus organization in America, machma from 120 up, on the assumption that that's really a chumrah. It should really be something much higher. Shadis, how much really is it? How much really is it? So there is a din that if you have kosher wine that's mevushal and a nochri handles it, so the Gemara says they never gzeir the rabbanon of stam yenum. If a non-Jew processes the wine, a non-Jew manufactures wine, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to drink stam yenum because of the chashash mishum b'reisem. You may enjoy the goyisha wine so much, you'll marry the man's daughter. You marry the daughter of the goy who made the wine. I have a lifetime supply of the tray for wine. So they prohibited drinking goyisha wine because it may lead to intermarriage. They prohibited bishalakum and pasakum and stam yena because of bishalakum. But then what if it's kosher wine and the goy is pouring the wine? So that's a nuchashash, mishum nisuch. Maybe the goy was menasach the wine. Tyson says it's a very far-fetched chashash. If he's really menasach the wine for Avodah Zarah, so why is he going to give it to a human being to drink? He's going to reserve a dafka for the Avodah Zarah. So it's very far-fetched that the goy is going to be menasach the wine, then he's going to let someone drink it. And the chachamim will never have the right to make gzera for that, because that's a milsa de la shchicha. Because they have no right to make gzera if it's a very far-fetched chashash. But once you made gzera ready because of menaseim, because the if you'll drink the goyisha wine, it may lead to intermarriage, and then they have the right to broaden it out, to extend it even to cover irregular cases, even far-fetched cases. So they made the gzeirab stam yeinim because of it. They say it may lead to intermarriage. Then they added on also that it should be osa b'hano. The pasakim and the bishalakim is only osa b'achila, it's not osa b'hano. It's only mishum b'reseim. But because it's also a far-fetched chashash of nisuch, so they said it should be osa b'hano as well. Maybe it's yayin nesach. If it's nesach la'vedazor, then it's the krubis, then it's going to be asabahano. So this new added chashash that maybe the nochri was menasach et l'shem la'vedazor doesn't apply, the Gemara says, if it's yayin mevushal. Because by us, yayin mevushal is pasul l'nasach ha'gabni ha'mizbeach, it's considered an inferior quality. So mislamabad the goyim also, they probably wouldn't want to use it for nisach on the mizbeach. So if you know for sure that the Nochri was Menasachet, even if he has a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, he has plain water, and he pours in front of Avodah Zarah, if he's Menasachet, he's Menasachet, becomes the Krubis. But to be Choshesh, for the far-fetched Chashash, that maybe the Nochri, we didn't see that he was Menasachet, maybe the Nasach was Menasachet, so if it's Yai Mavushal, that's too far-fetched. Then they were never Choshesh. So the question is, how Mavushal is Mavushal? So the Selim Aruf, who originally gave the Hashgacha on the Kerem wine, now his stepson, his adopted son, gives the Heksher on the Kerem wine. So he was of the opinion that it's only called Yai Mavushal if he heated it till 212, and part of the wine started to evaporate. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says that that's a mistake. So that's why Kerem wine, some of them say that it's Mavushal, some of them say Ein Mavushal. And Moshe Feinstein said that he misunderstood what it said in Shulchan Aruch. He says the Rishonim just have a suffix, the Arizal Ruah has a suffix, maybe have sheres of Bishula. Maybe if they cook the wine till it's lukewarm, even though it never became Yatzalev, maybe that's enough to be considered Yai Mavushal, that it should take off the Chashash of Nisuch. So because the Arizal Ruah was Mesupik, so we go Lechome, you have to have Yatzalev. But to say that you have to heat it so much till 212 that it starts to evaporate, he says, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's a mistake, that's a misunderstanding. He says, whenever the wine was cooked to the point of Yatzal Ledes, that's considered Yai Mavushal, and there's no chashash of Nisuch. So how much is Yatzal Ledes? Rav Moshe is not sure. So he can say 114. That's Lahachma, we say, but 114, 120. Rav Soloveitchik taught us somewhere between 140 and 160. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says he's not sure how much the other direction. How much is the highest degree temperature that you may need that temperature to be considered Yai Mavushal? He says maybe in three different shuvahs he has three different numbers. So one shuvah he writes maybe 185. 185, woo! That's Yad Nichvis. That's way more than Yad Saled. There's Yad Saledis Bo. Yad Saledis means Vasalda Bechil Mitpanecha. When I stick my hand into the tub, in the bathtub of water, and I realize that it's burning hot, I jump away. That's called Yad Saledis Bo. If you don't realize, if you don't know in advance how hot it is, and you stick your hand in, that's Yad Soledes. Yad Nichvis means if you stick your hand in, you take your hand out, you're going to have burnt fingers. That's going to be, so it's 185 degrees. It's Mamish Yad Nichvis. It's more than Yad Soledes. Pashtus is not 185. Something less than that. Something like 175. Something like that. So we have a whole range, but not sure. Somewhere between 120 and 175, 185, somewhere between is the shear of Yad Soledes. So when you do Hagola, how hot does the water have to be? So Shulchan Aruch says, whenever you have a tray for pot, you have to do Hagola with water that's 212, or something very close to 212. 188 is also good. If you're in certain elevations, certain cities are much higher. Denver is higher than others, so the water can't reach 212. Water will evaporate at a lower temperature. How high is the highest that it reaches? Something like 198, something like that. So if you can reach 198, fine. The shadows they really need. You always need mala resicha. That's called mala resicha. That bubbles are coming up. That's 212 when it's starting to evaporate. So that's clearly the minik, that you do hagola with water that's mala resicha. What if you have, let's say, a chocolate factory, and they make milchik chocolate, and they make parva chocolate, and or some other. Sometimes you have a factory where they process milchik food, they want to do parva food, or they do trefa food, they want to do kosher food, and the machinery is not able to reach 200 degrees temperature. It's just impossible. So Mi'ikar HaDin, the halacha says, we call it kibola kachpolto. If you did hagola with water that's burning hot to the same degree temperature that it was at the time that it became trefa, that it became milchik, so that's also good enough. If you have kibola kachpolto, usually the expression kibola kachpolto means a different thing, that there are three ways to kasher trefa pots. One way is libun, one way is hagola, and one way is mili v'yiril gimol yamin. Let's say I have cups, and I use the cups for schnapps, or I use the glasses for beer. And sometimes the beer was soaking 24 hours in the cups, so it has a belia of kavish kemevushal. So the din is that sometimes you don't need liban, you don't even need hagadah, just need milivira gimel yam. If the bliya was betzainen, and you're dealing with the hetera bala, if it was balei achazashmalz, then you have to do hagadah. But if it was balei achometz kodem apesach, or it was balei afleishiks or milchiks, hetera bala, so then the gemara with the Yerushalmi say that it's sufficient if you do milivira gimel yam. You have the cups. You have the cups, even if it's a klicheres, and agola doesn't help, but this does help. You have the cups soaked in a vat full of water for 24 hours. Then you empty out all the water, you fill it up again with water another 24 hours. Then you empty it out a third time, and you fill it up the third time with water for 24 hours. That's called mila v'yiru gimo yomim. So that's kibbola kach polta. However the bliya was nivla, was absorbed, that's how you do the kosherization process. So if I use the broiler and I broil treif chazer on it, then you need libun. And if you use the pot and you cook treif soup in it, then hagadah is enough. And if the hobliya was only ayidei kavush, then the kasherization process will be sufficient with kavush. But kavush has to be 72 hours. You have to have it soaking in water for a little more than 24 hours. Change the water, soak it again for a little more than 24 hours. If you want to do hagadah, you can do hagadah. You won't have to wait 72 hours. If it's so close to Pesach that you don't have 72 hours left, so then you can do Hagolah on it. Any Kli that you can do, even a Kli Cheres, that usually Hagolah doesn't help, but if the whole Bliya was only Ayidei Tzainen, then Bila V'yiru Gimel Yomim would help. So there's a Machloikis, and we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, that Hagolah would help, even on Kli Cheres. So usually we apply that rule, Kibbol Lekach Polta, to determine which form of kosherization you need. Whether you need Libun, or you need Hagola, or you need Mili V'yiru Gimel Yomim. Here the Achrayim, the recent poskim from the last 150 years, use that expression, Kibbola Kafolta, to determine how hot the water has to be when you're doing Hagola. So they say the Minig clearly is, Mitab Minig, you're always supposed to do Hagola with Mala Resicha. The water's supposed to be 212 or something, very close to 212, like what, 98? Something like that, very high. But Mi'ikaradin, if you can't do that, Mi'ikaradin, we say, Kibbola Kach Polto, if the highest temperature that it was ever used for treifus, or for milchik, or for fleshik, whatever, was 160, so if you do Hagola with a hot water, there's 165, that's also good enough, Kibbola Kach Polto. So there's a big, that's the accepted opinion. Not everybody agrees, that's the accepted opinion. Chazanish, Moshe Feinstein, all the poskim from the last 150 years, they all say like that. But by Libun, that's a question. So by Libun, we assume not so. Rabbi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. He says we assume not so because by Libun, we don't say that the Libun will succeed in being maflit the tam. Libun is so supposed to be sofer b'mkoma, burn the bliya out while it's in the kli. So for that, you need the shear of Libun, whatever Libun is supposed to be. Liban is supposed to be very high. There's Liban Chama and Liban Kal. The Machlokes of Rishonim, how do you do Liban? There's some Rishonim who insist that's what we follow that opinion. You need Liban Chama. Means that it has to be 950 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty hot. 950 degrees Fahrenheit. If you have a Kli that really Hagola would have been sufficient, but for some reason or another, you can't do Hagola, so you want to do Liban instead. So whenever you have a kli that hagola would have been enough, then we say libun kal. The Ramo says that libun kal can substitute for hagola. So libun kal in America, they always used to say for years, libun kal, the oven has to go up to 550 degrees. Where they get that gematria, 550 degrees? Because that's the highest the ovens can go. So really, strictly speaking, it doesn't have to be 550 degrees. It has to be the temperature that paper would burn. What temperature paper burns? I forgot. It's the name of a book, 444 degrees or something. 450, something like that. Something like that. It's the name of a book. When they used to burn all the books that had apikursus, so it's the name of a book. But all the ovens in America go to 550, so that's what the Rabbanim said. You have to have it. Liban Kal has to go to 550. Sure, easy enough to remember.
How long is it?
A while. Half an hour. To make sure that it gets hot. So that's the minig, always the, we have the 1 year cycle of completing the whole Torah. We always celebrate Simchas Torah on the end of Sukkot. So we always read Parsha Tzav before Pesach. That's our practice. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to make fun that there were some conservative synagogues where the people don't have space to sit and listen to the whole parsha. So they decided they're going to go back to the old system. Only going to read one third of the parsha. So one year they read the first third of Parshas Bereishis. Next week they read the first third of Parshas Noach. Next week they read the first third of Parshas Lech Lecha. So there's no continuation. Then the second year they read the second third of Parshas Bereishis. Next week the second third of Parshas Noach. That's ridiculous. He said if you have the 3-year cycle, you have to read one week the first third, next week the second third, next week the third third. That's why you have to have 3 haftaras for every sedra. Because in the days of the Gemara in Eretz Yisrael, when it was a 3-year cycle, so they had to have 3 different haftaras, one for the first third, one for the second third, one for the third third. Gemara says also that in Eretz Yisrael, the psukim were not the same as the way we have the psukim. Every pasuk, they had 3 times as many psukim. So every sedra, you can have 3 sedras. Every sedra had 3 times as many psukim that they had in Babel. It wasn't the same breakdown of psukim that we have. Somewhere the Masorah, where the pasuk is, was lost. And Eretz Yisrael had 3 times as many psukim. So Marika Shtif is in this week's sedra. That's why it's always Shabbos HaGol. The Torah has in this week's sedra the din of Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch is the name of the Sefer on the Sefer Achilah, but also Minchas Chinuch is a korban. Minchas Chinuch means if a kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash and wants to be makir karbonis, so first of all he has to be after bar mitzvah, okay, he can't be a kohen. And then he has to bring a minchas chinuch, has to bring a korban mincha before he offers any karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. What if he will go ahead and be makir karbonis without first bringing the minchas chinuch? Will the karbonis be kosher or not? So the topic is raised by the Torah's Kohanim, the Sifra, and there are 2 girsas, what the answer is. After the Rishonim had the girsa, it's possible b'di'evit. After the Rishonim had the girsa, that it's kosher b'di'evit. There's nothing to philosophize about. The 2 girsas, what the din is. Then it says, that's the minchas chinuch, the first time in your life that you want to bring karbonas, you have to bring a minchas chinuch. The psukim say in Yecheskel, there were kohanim who brought karbonas in the Bais Rishon, and they were 85 years old when they built the second Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to bring karbonas in the second Beis HaMikdash, and they already brought a minchas chinuch. 75 years ago, they brought a minchas chinuch, and they went through the whole Golos, 70 years of a Babylonian Golos. So the Navi Yecheskel says they have to bring a new Menchas Chinuch, because the Bais Sheni was not a Hemshech of the Bais Rishon. But the Bais HaShlishi is considered Al Pidin a Hemshech of the Bais Sheni. So if there be a Kohen who brought a Menchas Chinuch over 2,000 years ago, and he's still alive, he won't have to bring another Menchas Chinuch. Okay, not going to help too much. We don't have Rav Steinman was not 2,000 years old. He's a little over 100, okay. So the Kohen Gadol, it says, the Kohen Gadol has to bring every day what the Kohen Hagin only brings the first time in his life before he wants to bring Korbanos and Minchas Chinuch. Kohen Gadol has to bring it every day. That's called the Minchas Chavitin. And he has to bring Machtzisa Baboyke, Machtzisa Ben Habayim, he divides it in half, brings half in the morning, half in the afternoon. And the Kohen Hagin only brings it the first time in his life. Yeah, what if they appoint that person, there's a Kohen, he never did any avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, then they decide to vote him in that he should become the Kohen Gadol. So I think this Sifra says he has to bring 2 Minchas Chavitins. The first time he wants to bring a korban, he has to bring 2. He has to bring 1 because he's a Kohen and wants to do avoid, and number 2 because they just made him a Kohen Gadol. He has to bring 2 on that day. It's a special mitzvah sachilo on kochi kochin. Chatos, oshom, in shiori hamincha, a kochi kochin. Oil is kochi kochin, but nobody eats anything. But the besar hachatos, and the besar hoshom, and the shiori hamincha, a kochi kochin. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah, that's a mitzvah, and the Kohanim to eat the kochi kochin. And the Gemara has an expression, Kohanim oichlim, or bailam iskaprim. That's considered like part of the Haktorah. The Kohanim eat it, the Besar HaKotchi Kotchim, and the Baal Megedah Kapur. The Rambam holds that on eating a Korban Shlomim, or a Korban Toyda, that's not a mitzvah sachila. You have to see to it that someone should eat it, otherwise it'll turn into Noisar. Lo seser men arboiker, but there's no mitzvah to eat it. But our kachin kachin, there's a mitzvah to eat it. So the Chumash has a din lo siyaf hachometz. You're not allowed to. You may not allow a korban mincha to turn into chametz. Chel kum nasati osim me yishoy kodesh kadoshim hi kachatos v'chasham. A korban mincha is a kochi kochma, a chatos and a nosham is a kochi kochma. There's a mitzvah called zocha b'koinim yochlena. There's a mitzvah on zichri kuna that they should eat the kochi kochma. So the Gemara has a comment. The correct reading of lo siyaf hachametz semicolon. Chel kum nasati osim me yishoy Hashem. This is one of the chof talad matas kuna that you give the kochikochim to the Kohanim. So Gemara has a drasha on the fact that the pasuk is written in such a way, lo seafu chametz chelkom. Not only are you not allowed to let the mincha turn into chametz, the chelik of the mincha that you mak the radna mizbeach, the chametz, even chelkom. Lo seafu chametz chelkom, even the shiori ha-mincha, that's nechel to the zichikuna, also there's an iser not to let that become chametz, because the achilas ha-kohanim is considered in a certain sense like achilas hamizbeach. That's why the Gemara has the expression kohanim ochlim ba'alim miskapin. That's why you need zichrei kuhne. If it would just be a matnas kuhne, so a bas kohen can also eat truma. A bas kohen can also eat chaz of a shoik. But over here where it's a mitzvah achila, the kohanim ochlim ba'alim miskapin, so you need dafke. Zichrei kuhne, it's like an avoida. So even lo siyaf hachametz chelkom. So the Ra'or and the Bedek Abayis, different parts of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. Much of the Shulchan Aruch is straight word for word from the Rambam. In the other section, Hilchas Avelos is not based on the Rambam, it's based on a lot on the Rosh. The Rosh and the Ramban wrote Hilchas Avelos. Torah Sa'odim, the Ramban wrote all Hilchas Avelos. And then the first Chelek Yerodei is all based on the Rashbo. The Rashbo wrote a Sefer Torah Sabayis. Rashbo learned by the Ramban, and the Rabban Alevi also learned by the Ramban. So the Rabban Alevi, the Ra'or, has a lot of Hasogis on the Torah Sabayis. That's called the Bedek Abayis. He's fixing up the Torah Sabayis of the Rashbo. Then the Rashbo wrote the Mishmeres Abayis to defend what he wrote in the Torah Sabayis. Mishmeres Abayis is a defense of the Torah Sabayis from the attacks of the Ra'or. It's written as if he's an outsider. The Mishmar Sabah is written as if he's a stranger who's just writing to defend the Rashba. But they quote, the Rashba Nechuva writes, according to what I wrote in the Mishmar Sabah. So obviously he says himself that he wrote the Mishmar Sabah. So in the Berak HaBayis, when the Rashba writes a dinam of Malicha, that you have to salt flesh in order to take out the dam, so the Ra'or writes an interesting Kiddush, that there's a mitzvah malicha on emurim, when you burn emurim on the mizbeach. Then there's a mitzvah malicha on a korban mincha, called korban mincha schab amelach timloch. People make a mistake, they think that salting the meat has to do with removing the blood. And they don't realize that there's a din, you have to salt the korban mincha also, even though the mincha doesn't have any blood in it. That's a din. I'll call korban chatakri melach, whatever the korban happens to be. But it's only called the korban what you burn on the mizbeach. What about the chelik ha-nechal, the shori ha-mincha that the Kohanim eats? So that the Gemara never says that you have to salt. So Rabbi Aaron Alevi writes a chiddush, just like the Gemara has a drasha. Lo siyaf ha-chametz chelkom, even the shori ha-mincha, also lo siyaf ha-chametz. So too, you need malicha even on the chelik ha-nechal of the mincha. Because the chelik ha-nechal is like, it's like ha-ktor al-gabi mizbeach, Kohanim ochel me-bailam mizkapim. It is a chiddush. It is a chiddush. Pasuk has a few times. Kol ha-shi'iga b'hem yigdosh. If you have a mincha that's supposed to be nechal by zichr kuna and it touches, let's say, a shlomim, so now the shlomim also that it touched may only be eaten by kohen. What kind of a din is that? Kol ha-shi'iga b'hem yigdosh. So the Gemara says, no, it means if it gets a bliya, if there'll be a bliya from the shori ha-mincha into the shlomim, so now the shlamim, which normally can be eaten by Yisraelim who are tor, now since it touched the shiori ha-mincha, which is only mutter to Kohanim, and the bliya goes from the shiori ha-mincha into the shlamim, so the shlamim also, yigdash liyas kamoya, shimsula tipasav and ksherat yochel kochay mishabah. It's a din of tam ki ikar. So we have other psukim to teach us tam ki ikar. Ki uli klei midyon tells you tam ki ikar. But mishras by the nazir is not allowed to eat bread that was soaking in wine because it has a tam of the wine. So the nazir is not allowed to drink wine. So what do you need another pasuk? What do you need somebody psukim? Yigdash liyas kamash and psulati pasuk sherete yochal kachay mishaba. This is the same old din of tam ki ikar. So the Gemara discusses it a little bit, and the Rishonim discuss it. What is added on? What do you need this additional pasuk for? I'll tell you the din of tam ki ikar. The Torah has the din that an olba mincha iduk mitza, you burn the koimitz on the mizbech, and then the shiur hamincha is nechal tezichir kuna. However, the mincha is koin called tia lo seyachal. If a kohen brings a korban mincha, there's no kmitza. You burn the whole thing on the mizbeach, and there is no shiori ha-mincha. So the Mishnah in Shkolim says that kohanim ha-yadoshim mikra zeliatzman. The kohanim decided on their own against the chachamim that they don't have to. They're not allowed to give machzas ha-shekel. The machzas ha-shekel is for the purpose of purchasing korbanos tzibur. So one of the korbanos tzibur is a mincha, mincha so'aymer. Some of the machzah shekel money goes to buy menachosim in this game came a duber. The menachos that you bring every day in conjunction with karbon. So those menachos, you never have kmitza on. You burn the whole thing. That's called the minchas nesochim. But if you have a mincha that comes, mincha bo b'fnei etzman, not a mincha in conjunction with a karbon, menachosim in this game of a karbon. You bring a karbon mincha, so normally you do kmitza, you burn the kmitz, and shorah ha-mincha is nechal, unless it's minchas kayin. So then it's called tia lo siyachi, burn the whole thing. So kainim hayadoshim mikro zeliatzman, the kainim decided, we're not allowed to participate in machzah shekel fund, because once a year they brought the mincha sa'imer, they would do kmitza, burn the kaimans on the mizbeach, and the shiurayim would be nechled by the zichre kuhuna. So if we have a share in the, if it's a korban shutfis, we're going to chip in to give machzah shekel money, so the Kohanim won't be able to, they won't do a kmitza. They won't be able to do kmitza and eat the shori ha-mincha of the mincha sa'imer. So obviously, when the Torah says all the Jewish men have to participate in machzah shekel money, it means the Jewish men who are Levim and Yisrael. The Kohanim don't have to give. And the Tanoim disagreed with them, and they said they're wrong. They said, the Kohanim, Dershim Mikra Zeliatzim, this pasuk, Amichas Kohen Koltia, so they said, Kol Kohen HaShekel, Choytei, any coin who gives machzah shekel is sinning. The Tanaim said, you're wrong. Kol coin she'ena shekel, choytei. A coin that doesn't give machzah shekel is sinning. Aye, what's wrong? Their argument is good. So that's what the Mefarshim all say. A korban, a minchas coin, is only shaykh if it's a private korban. An individual person, he's a coin, then it's called a minchas coin. If it's a mincha of all of Klal Yisrael, it's not Kohen, it's not a Levi, it's not Shevet Zvuna, it's not Shevet Yisachar. It's the korban of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not the same as Shutfim. If it would have been Klal Yisrael, it would be the same as Shutfim. There would be a Shutfis between the Kohanim and the non-Kohanim. So Itaka there, the Kohanim would be right that they're not allowed to give Machzah Shekel money because then you can't eat the Shiori HaMincha of the Mincha Soema. But they're not right. It's not considered, korban HaTzibur is not considered a korban HaShutfis. The korban of all of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is not a Kohen. Apparently, those Kohanim in the times of the Baal Sheni didn't want to give Machzah Shekel. They didn't believe in such a concept of Klal Yisrael. We assume Rabbi Soloveitchik's Loshen used to be Klal Yisrael consists of all the Jews for the days of Avraham Avinu Ad Yemos HaMashiach. Even the people who died already, even the people who weren't born yet, Klal Yisrael is all of Klal Yisrael. And the Kohanim in the times of the Baal Sheni didn't want to participate in Machzah Shekel fund. They treated it as if Klal Yisrael is a Shutfis. All the Jews are alive today. That's not right. All the Jews who are alive today is a korban on Shutfim. It's not a korban of Klal Yisrael. It repeats again. Kol she'igad b'psara yigdosh has it a few times. It doesn't mean yigad b'psara. I mean yigad b'psara means that it's nivla, tam ki ikar. If it'll be nivla, yigdosh liyos kamash imsulati pasul k'sher teyachol kachem shabbat. So that's what the Gemara and the Rishonim discuss. What do you need all these psukim about tam kikah? I know tam kikah from mishras, from giulik le midyon. What do you need? It repeated again. Torah says about you're not. It's repeated again the prohibition of eating chaylev and dam. Not allowed to eat chaylev and dam. But it says the chaylev and nevela, the chaylev with treifa yosel chom malocha ba'achalos sachlu. It's muta bahana, but it's also bachil achalos sachlu. So the Rambam has an interesting chiddush. Machlokes the Rambam and Tosfos. We have a Mishnah Masechah Shviyos that you're not allowed to be in the business of selling non-kosher food. Let's say a person has a butcher shop. He sells non-kosher meat in the middle of Harlem to non-Jews. There's no lift neighbor of the city, Mirshol. So that's a din. You learn that from a pasuk that you're not allowed to do schorah b'macholos asuris. If, let's say, in the slaughterhouse they shecht so many animals every day, some of them turn out to be the velus atrefa, so you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. That's called nizdam nulo. It happened like that. But to be in that line of business, kavua, permanently, to sell non-kosher food, that you're not allowed to do. So the Rambam writes, one exception to the rule is chaylev. Because the pasuk says, yasa l'chol malocha, you can do whatever you want with it. So the Rambam understands, not only does it mean it's mutta b'hanoa, only yasa b'chaylev mutta b'hanoa, means mutta to do schara as well, mutta to be in business. They have people. They go to the butcher shops and they buy all the chaylev from all the butcher shops, and then they use that chaylev to put it into soap. The more expensive soaps have chaylev in them. That's why there were there are more quotes of Chumra that maybe if you have a bar of soap and you rub it into your body, maybe I should say sicha kishtiya. So since the soap will enter into the pores in the skin, so maybe that's considered a violation of sicha kishtiya, like eating, like drinking. Because it's a liquefied, like drinking the chaylev. So that's the Rama says that you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos because it's memachek. You're going to make a new smooth surface. The bar of soap, every time you use it, you use up a tiny amount. You can't notice it, but after a month, the bar of soap is going to disappear. So obviously, every time you use it, you're creating a new smooth surface. It was an old smooth surface, making a new smooth surface. So there's some who disagree with the Rambam. The only time there's an Isar Memachek, if you make a new smooth surface, means if before it was a rough surface, and then you make it a smooth surface. You have, let's say, a piece of wood, and you sandpaper it down. So if it was a rough surface, you make it smooth. Well, you have Memachek, you have the hide of an animal, and it has a lot of hair on it. So you remove all of the hair, and then you make a smooth surface out of the surface that used to be rough, because it had hair on it. But what if it was a bar of soap, it was smooth already, and then you use up a 16th of an inch or something, a 100th of an inch, so then use it 100 times, it's going to disappear. See, taking a thing that has a smooth surface, making a new smooth surface, so there are those who disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, but the generally accepted opinion is that you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos, but on the weekdays you're allowed to. So the Rama says you're allowed to use the bar of soap, even though it has chaylev in it, and you don't say sichi kishtiyah. That there were those who were machma. I think the Bi'ur HaGro is machma over there. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Vilna Gaon is machma because of sicha kishtiyah. So the Rambam understands that yasa l'chol malacha means that this is schar b'machalas asuris doesn't apply to chaylev. So I can go, I'm Jewish, I can go to all the butcher shops where they remove all the fat that they don't sell to the car. I can buy all of the fats and resell it to a soap company who wants to put in, they want to introduce fat, animal fat, into their soaps. There's no issa schor mam cholos asuris. Tosfos in Baba Kama, in the end of Perek Achoyfel, I think, the end of Perek Meruba, the end of Perek, one of those problems, the end of Perek Meruba, I think. Tosfos writes a double poshet that it's not so, that schor mam cholos asuris applies even to chela. But the Rambam quotes this pasuk, yosel l'cham malacha, that tzchara is muta. So the Taz, there's a famous Taz on this, Rabbi David Cohen from Flatbush, from the Gvul Yavetz, has a whole sefer that's called Direi HaTaz HaYodua, the famous Taz, that's this Taz. So the Taz says, there's a machlekes achrenim, whether the prohibition of tzchara b'machalos asuris is in Issa Deraisa or in Issa Derabban. So the Rambam says that from this pasuk we derive that tzchara b'chelev is mutter, unlike all other macholos asuris. Obviously, the Rambam thinks that the prohibition of schorah b'macholos asuris is an issa deraisa. Here, the pasuk is saying that it's mutter. If the whole din that schar machalos aser is only an asmachta of the rabbanon. It's not real. It's not a real din deraisa, like many achrayim hold. So how can he prove in the pasuk that it's muta bischayra? Because matan Torah, there was no issa schar machalos aser. It was only invented later in the days of the Tanoim. So the Taz quotes his father-in-law. He quotes the Bach. He thinks that it's not a right. It could be the Rambam also agrees that schar machalos aser is only an issa the rabbanon. But he postulates a klal that the Chachamim have a right to make gzer the rabbanon, but they can't prohibit something that's davar beforish b'tor v'lahatera. If it says b'feirish in the chumash that something is mutter, so they have no right to make an isa the rabbanon on that. So that's his suggestion. So the Taz has it in three different places in Shulchan Aruch. One is in Chasham Mishpat, but this is one of the famous ones, and the second Chelik Yerideh, and the other one is in Aruch Chaim. That when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you're not allowed to blow shofar. Gzeir Hashem me'avirain adal aramis b'shus aram. So why didn't they prohibit blowing shofar on every Rosh Hashanah? Because of mashmiya kol, you're not allowed to play musical instruments. Gzeir Hashem isakim klishir. Why they have to only prohibit Rosh Hashanah shecholiyus b'Shabbos? Because of the chashash me'avirain, and they carry it. Should have prohibited all mashmiya kol. So the Taz quotes the Bach. He quotes his father-in-law the Bach. They can't ask it to gzeir shofar. It says b'feirish in the chumash you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It never says b'feirish you have to blow shofar even Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. That's self-understood. Why should it be a different Shabbos on the weekdays? So there the Chachamim have a right to make gzeir rabban, because that doesn't say mefurish. But to make gzeir rabban, to prohibit blowing shofar period on every Rosh Hashanah, that's keneged davar mefurish b'Torah. So that's a big debate in Rishonim whether that is correct or not. So Rabbi David Cohen collected around 150 Marmakaris from every other Mesichta. There's a Taisus here and a Taisus there. There are Rishonim all over the place about this topic. So he put everything together in a whole sefer, and that's called Divrei HaTaz HaYadua. This is the Taz HaYadua. He spoke the other day about a korban todah. Rashi learns the Perek HaTodah. Rashi writes, Abot Tzrich M'lohoides, we saw the first on the base in Perek HaRoyah. Abot Tzrich M'lohoides, Holchem Midbaris, or V'yamim, and son, Yetzim Ibez Asurim, Chodosh and Esrape, that the Abot Tzrich M'lohoides are posik in Tehillim. That's in the Perek Hodeh L'Hashem, Kitav Kilam, that's the Perek that the Hasidim say. And there Shabbos before they daven mincha, they say that perek that says four times hodel yodin niflo isof after the abot zich melahoida. So Rashi learns abot zich melahoida is those four people are mechuyif to bring a korban toida. And Tosis in the first daf in Perek HaToida disagrees with. They quote Rashi, they disagree. They say the korban toida is always bo ben edim and adov, and no one's ever mechuyif to bring a korban toida. Abot zich melahoida means the mechuyif to say brichas hagaymal, but no one is mechuyif to bring a korban toida. But the Mishnah Brura points out in the Siman at Bad Brichas HaGaymel, the end of the second Chelik of the Mishnah Brura, he points out that Rashi Lishitosa on the first Perek in Zvachim learns a Gemara that let's say there was a person who was Yotzim Ibeis HaSurim and he's obligated to bring a Korban Toida. Rashi Lishitosa brings the Korban Toida to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen who's Makrovit thinks that he was a Chodosh and a Srapi. He doesn't realize that he was Yotzim Ibeis HaSurim. He's bringing the Toida Bishinui. Let's say a person brings a korban chatos because he was mechal Shabbos b'shoyge, and the kohen didn't realize that. The kohen thinks that he ate chametz b'pesach b'shoyge, so the kohen is makrivit for a different avera, for a different isad kares. So that's a question of pasaling the korban. So Rashi learns in the Gemara if the kohen is makriv a korban toida, which was hugdash because of Yetzim Beis HaSurim, the Kohen thinks he's a Chodesh and it's Rappe. So Rashi learns in the Gemara, that's a question of Shini Kodesh, since it's a different Toidah. So the Mishnah Berurah said, that's Rashi the Shitasai, who thinks that Abot Tzrichim Lohoides are Mechuyif to bring a Korban Toidah. According to Tosef, you have to interpret the Gemara differently. Can't learn like Rashi and I'm Mechuyif to bring. Can't say that Abot Tzrichim Lohoides plays a role over there. You have the din of Pigul in today's Sedra. Hayochel, Hayochel. The simple reading of the pasuk doesn't make any sense. You bring a korban shlamim, you can eat a shnei yamim v'layla echad, And if you kept it over till the third day, and you ate some of it on the third day, then it's going to turn out that the whole thing was kosher. What do you mean? It was kosher the first 2 days? Then because someone eats it on the third day, it makes it kosher, my friend, that's pigul. So the Gemara says that's not what it means. Yachal yachal means, what does it say? Yachal yachal, we assume, lo dibater kalishan beni adam. Whenever you have a lishanis kfulim, you dash in something. So the Gemara says, yachal yachal means, echar achilas adam, ve'echar achilas mizbech, means when you shecht the korban shlamim, you shecht it, or you did the zrikas adam, whatever, you have in mind to eat it, chutz lizmano. Either you had in mind achilas adam, to eat part of the shlamim on the third day, or you had in mind from the beginning to be makta the emurim. Echad achilas adam, echad achilas mizbech. Achilas mizbech means to burn the emurim on the mizbech tomorrow. Emurim akotchikotchim, even though shlamim is a kotchim, it talks about shlamim. Even though shlamim is a kotchim kalim, but the emurim of kotchim kalim have a status of kotchikotchim, because it's korev on the mizbech. That's Mishnah is like that. So if you had in mind at the time of the Shechita that you're going to have Achilas Adam on the Yom HaShlishi, or Achilas Mizbech tomorrow morning, that's already Chutz L'Zmano, so then it makes it Pigul even before it comes tomorrow morning. The carbon from the very outside is Pigul, and whoever eats Pigul, never Shechelas Mena Avoy Natiso, Yechayv Kores, if you eat Pigul. Pigul is only if you had Machshebes Chutz L'Zmano. If you had Machshebes Chutz L'Mkomo, that's it, you brought a korban, you had a mind to eat it chutz l'Yerushalayim, ashlamim. Or you brought a korban chatos, you had a mind to korban going to eat it in Yerushalayim. Chutz l'mekam, the mekam is the azara. Chutz l'mekam is pasol ve'im bakoris. Chutz l'zmano is pigul ve'yesh bakoris. Mishnah is like that. A lot of dinim in the Mishnah is. Then you have the pasuk, habasa shiga b'chaltami lo ye'ochel ba'esh yisareif. Habasa called Toho Yachal Basa. Only a person who's Tohar is allowed to eat Bisar HaKachim. And if the Basa touches a Tomei, here Ashayiga means touching, because Tumah is transmitted by touching. You don't need Yiga that it should be Tam Kikri. You don't need it in Sinas Tam. The other place where it says, Koloshayiga Bifsara Yigdosh, Yigdosh Lias Kamoy, that's based on Tam Kikri, you need Sinas Tam. Here just Nagia alone is enough. So in this, Ramosha Mordechai Epstein was the Rosh Yeshiva in Slabodka almost 100 years ago. And he wrote the Levush Mordechai on Bava Kamma. And then they were afraid, they thought that the government is going to start to draft the yeshiva boys. So they were afraid it's going to happen. So they moved half of the yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael, to Hebron, to the city Hebron. Then there were the Hebron riots. They killed all the Jews. They killed many Jews on Erev Shabbos there. The mazel was that most of the boys were not there. That Friday they went to an oifruf out of town. So the Arabs didn't realize that most of the boys were not there. But so then Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein continued to give shiurim in Hebron. He was not there. So he continued to give shiurim. So he published a volume of Levush Mordechai on Kochim. So he has a famous piece on this din. Basa Shigib Tami says there are two dinim. There's one din. If an Adam Tami touches Kachim and it's Mekabal Tumah, then it's Pasal. And then there's another din. There's a Psul Tumah. Even if the Adam Tami, let's say, will not succeed in transmitting the Tumah. Let's say Shlishi will touch Bisar Kodesh. So Shlishi, the Tumah doesn't go any further. Let's say a Sheni touches Truma. Sheni touches Truma, passels the Truma. But if that Truma, we consider that Truma as if it were a Shlishi, so if that Truma, Shlishi, will touch Bisar Kodesh, does make it a Revi, but we passel the Kochim. So there's a Psul Truma and there's a Din Kabbalah Truma. So that he has a lot of Din based on this. That in Kochim there's a Psul Truma. Even if it's not Mekabal Truma, Abbas HaShigi B'chotami Elohi Yochel, it has a Psul Truma. Last week we were talking about the dream of the Osamea. That's based, I made a mistake, I said it's Parsha Shmini. It's not Parsha Shmini. The Pasuk Yom Tzavos al Akrivus Karbanayim is the end of Shlishi in Parsha Tzav. That's the last Pasuk. In the Aliyah of Shlishi in Parsha Yom Tzavos al Akrivus Karbanayim, that all Karbanos have to be Bayom. Means the Dalar Avodas Adam, Shchita Kabbalah Halacha Zriko, the Dalar Avodas of a Mincha, that a parallel till a dalar avodas adam have to be done by yom. So that's based on this pasuk. Then the Torah says when the Kohanim were chosen, they had to be endowed with Kedushas Kohuna. How exactly do you accomplish that? So first of all, you have to have tefillah in a mikveh. Zeh davar sheitziv Hashem. Vayirchad tzoisem b'amoyim. Yirchad tzoisem b'amoyim means Aaron and Bonner have to be tefillah in a mikveh. Whenever, if you have a non-Jew who wants to convert, he has to be tefillah in a mikveh because he's going to be endowed with Kedushas Yisrael. Here they were Jewish, they already had Maim HaSinai, the one he made that with Kedushas Kohuna, when the Levim were chosen, the beginning of Chumash Bamidbo, the Levim were chosen also, they went that with Kedushas Levios, and says also, that would be Tevel in the Mikvah, so whenever, or when you have Tvilos Kalim, and you buy forks and knives and pots and pans, so in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rabbeinu Yoina, from the Sefer Yisra, the Heta Ha'aruch, that it's also like a Gerus on the pots and pans, you have to have Tvilos in the Mikvah. So that's one din of tefillah. The normal din of tefillah mikvah is a person is tamei, he wants to become tohar, he has to be tovel in a mikvah. But this is unrelated. Here, the person is tohar. Let's say a non-Jew wants to convert. A non-Jew is not tamei, and a Torah non-Jew is not tamei at all. They made a make-believe midrabanan, as if all the goyim have a tuma of zav. But a Torah non-Jew is not mekabel tuma. But if he wants to become Jewish, he needs tefillah in a mikvah to elevate the level, to endow a person with kedusha. But to elevate the level of Kedusha, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, every day when the Kohen puts on Big Dekuna, he's endowed with an additional level of Kedusha's Kuna. So whatever a Kohen is interested in putting on Big Dekuna to elevate his level of Kedusha, to the level of Kedusha's Kuna Shabbat Mikdosh, he has to be Tovel and a Mikveh in advance. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur switches. He wears first Big Day Zob, then Big Day Lovin, Big Day Zob. He switches five times. So each time he wants to put on Big Day Kuna, he has to be Tovel again. Chomish Tvilus. He has to be Tovel five times on Yom Kippur before each time he's going to put on the Big Day Kuna. Because whenever you put on the Big Day Kuna, it endows you with an additional Kedushas Kahuna. So there are three dinim in Tvilin. Because one din, if you want to be endowed with Kedusha, like a Ger, or like the Kohanim when they were chosen, another din if a person is Tomei, wants to remove the tumah on Od Mekalim. There are four things in a Makabal tumah: Od Mekalim, Ochlam, and Mashkim. And only Od Mekalim have tefillah in the mikvah. Ochlam and Mashkim have no tefillah in the mikvah. Whenever the Gemara says that Ochlam and Mashkim have no tefillah in the mikvah, so Rashi many places will point out, what about Hashoka? If you have water that's tamei and you lower the cup into the mikvah and the water of the mikvah will connect with the water inside the cup, so that's metahir the tamei dika water. That's called Hashoka. Don't you see the water has tefillah in the mikveh? So Rashi will always raise this issue. He says, no, hashoka is midin zriya. Let's say if you have a potato, you have an apple, that's tameh, and you plant it in the ground and it takes root. So even though the apple was tameh from before, once it takes root, whatever is mechubal karka, whatever is growing in the ground, zriya is metaher. So there's a pasuk in Navi that says, zarea mayim al panei chutzas. If you have a puddle of water, that's considered as if it's zarua in the karka. So Rashi answers, that when you do hashok and tomidika water, it removes the tumah. It's not because of tefillah b'mikveh. There's no tefillah b'mikveh for echlam amashkim. It's a din of zriya. Rashi has that in a few places in the Shas. He points that out, that hashok and mayim, tmeim, is midin zriya. It's not midin tahara b'mikveh. And then there's a third din of tefillah b'mikveh. A married woman who goes to mikveh becomes muteris lebaila, doesn't always necessarily go hand in hand with her removing the tumah. The Bechonah Vassman has a long essay in the Sefer on Yevomis, and the Kovitz Aris, you have cases that there's tumas nida and the woman is muteris lebaila. You can have the woman has no tumas nida, she's asur lebaila. The tumas nida and the yisa lebaila are not necessarily identical. You can have one without the other. So it's a totally different din. You have a tray for salami. If the din would have been, you table the salami and a mikveh, it becomes kosher. There is no such din. So that's the din. A married woman who goes to mikveh becomes muteres. It's a different din, unrelated to Kabbalah's Kedusha and unrelated to removing the tumah. It's another din. That's why there's a question, do all the dinim carry over? Let's say all the dinim of chatzitza. So chatzitza appears in Chumash, a person is tummy, he's tovel in a mikveh, so you have to be careful, you shouldn't have any chatzitza. So some Rishonim write a wild idea that all the dinim of chatzitza for a woman who wants to be mitaris lebaila, all the dinim of chatzitza are all midrabbanan. It's a very big chiddush. The Pashta says that it's not so. But you have some Rishonim say like that, that there's no Pasuk. There's no Pasuk that says you shouldn't have a Chatzitza by a Tefillah to be Mata Labailo. When the Kohanim were chosen, so they had to bring special Karbanos. That's like a Ger. A Ger, Habola, his Gayer, has to bring special Karbanos. So the Kohanim had to bring special Karbanos. So normally, this was the Karban HaTshutfim, Aaron Abonov. Aaron had he had four sons, and he is five people. They were all chosen to be endowed with Kedushas Kohuna. So they had to bring B'shutfis, this special Karban. So normally, if you have a Karban HaShutfim, and you want to do a Tenufa on the Chaz of Ashok, then it's Echad Meinef Ayidei Kulam, Karban HaShutfim. Only one does Tenufa. You don't require of all the five Shutfim to do Tenufa. Here the Pasuk says they all did Tenufa. And normally the din is when you have smicha on a carbon, let's say five people chip in to buy a carbon together, so you have to have each one do smicha, but you can't do smicha at the same time, because my hands will be a chatzitza between you. The head of the animal is only so big. You have to put your both hands on the head of the animal without any chatzitza. So if you have five partners, you're going to have 10 hands. There isn't enough room on the head of the animal to put 10 hands. So if you put your hands, and I'm going to put my hands on top of your hands, and Gemara says that will be a chatzitza. So the Ravid has a commentary on the Torah's Kohanim. He says over here, it says in the Psukim that they all did the smicha. He thinks that it's like the Gemara said, they had to do smicha b'zeh achazeh. The Avvela Soloveitchik quotes the Ravid, and he thinks maybe he can say not like the Ravid. He thinks maybe it's not correct. Maybe that's only if two people decide to bring a korban b'shutfis. I could have brought it without you. You could have brought it without me. We decide arbitrarily. We're going to save money. Instead of me spending $1,000 on a behemoth, I'll spend $500. You'll spend $500. So your bailus is independent of my bailus. My bailus is independent of your bailus. So your hands will be a chatzitza. But here was a din. Aaron and Barav had all five had to bring one set of karbanos. And if they would decide they want to splurge, they want to spend a lot of money, each one is going to bring his own karbanos, it would appear that it wouldn't be acceptable. Here it's a special din. They had one din bailus. All five, Aaron and Abana, had one din bailus of the carbon. So if it's one din bailus, so then it could well be that they all did smicha bevasachas, and there would be no problem of chatzitza.
What is everything about tefillah on Arab Shabbos? Tefillah for a man, Erev Shabbos.
What do you mean, Erev Shabbos?
To go to the
mikvah,
Erev Shabbos.
Yeah. The Gemara says, Chayvan Matar Atzma Baregel. So the Shagazari says that the whole thing doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. It doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, only by Sholosh HaGolim. When you're supposed to visit the Azor, Yerel Kol Zechurcho, so then you have to be Tevil in the mikvah. It doesn't apply Shabbos, and doesn't apply Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh, because no one's visiting the Azor. And others presented not so. The Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes the Rav Sadia Gaon that when you're tovin on the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur, you have to say a bracha ala tefila. So he thinks that it's a real mitzvah. So the Rosh is not happy. He thinks chayvanim taratz meberegel even applies bisman hazeh even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's a big chiddush. So the Rosh is not happy. So some say that the Rav Sadia Gaon only meant Erev Yom Kippur. He didn't mean Rosh Hashanah and Pesach Shavuos. Only Yom Kippur, because the pasuk says Lifnei Hashem Titoru, and the Rav Sadia Gaon understood you should be tovel in the mikveh Lifnei Hashem before you enter into Yom Kippur. Rabban in the end of Yuma, the Chidushim, understands Lifnei Hashem Titoru, you should say Vidui Erev Yom Kippur before you should purify your soul by reciting Vidui. And the Rav Sadia Gaon perhaps understood Lifnei Hashem Titoru, you have to be tovel in the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. So others understand, maybe misunderstand, others understand that Rav Sadia Gaon meant that before Kedusha Zman, Shabbos, Yontav, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, is not a special din Yom Kippur. It's not a din of Sholosh HaGolim, Yerol Kol Zechurcha. Whenever there's a Kedusha Zman, and you want the Kedusha Zman to have an effect on you, so it'll have a better effect if you go to the mikvah. See, even Zman is there, no one's allowed to enter the Azorah. We're all Tomei anyway. But Chayvon HaMatar Atzma Baregel, and they say maybe it even applies on Shabbos as well. So some Achranim say, no, the Kedusha HaShabbos is so much more powerful than the Kedusha HaYontav. Kedusha HaShabbos will have an effect on your soul, even if you didn't go to mikvah. And others say no. There's a Gemara Chagiga that talks about becoming Tahar before Shabbos also, not just before Yom Tov. So they say the reason why Chayvar Matarats Beregel is because the Kedusha Sayyam will have a stronger effect on each Jew if it will be Tahar, if he'll go to Mikveh in advance. So that's what it's based on. By a lot of Hasidim, they'll go to Mikveh on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov on that assumption that the Kedusha Sayyam will have a stronger effect on their soul if they'll be Tevel and Mikveh in advance. So that was the suggestion Rav Velvel Soloveitchik made. He thought that maybe over here the halacha required that they have to become shutfim together. So maybe your hands are not a chatzitza between mine hands and the korban, because we're all one big bailam. It's not that you're a separate bailam, I'm a separate bailam. I can't bring the korbanos on my own. You have to dafka bring all together. And he thought that maybe that's why there was a difference between tenufa also. Echad meinefai de kulam only applies if you have a korban al shutfim. But here the pasuk says that you all did tenufa. So maybe because it was one bailam. It's one din bailam. It's not that there should shutfim in the korban. This was a hirashah. It was a special kind of a korban. The parsha ends off that Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, they had to sit Pesach HaMoed. Pesach HaMoed lo yiseitzu Shivas Yom Ad Yom Malos Yimei Miluachem. Pesach HaMoed teishu Yom Avalai the Shivas. How is that possible? You sit for 24 hours a day, 7 days in a row. They don't go to the Beis HaKisei. They don't want to eat. They don't go to sleep. How is that physically possible? Pesach HaMeteish V'Yom HaBalayla. So the Netziv quotes, Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltas, quotes the Yerushalmi, asked how is that possible. So one answer is given by the Yerushalmi, they only have to be Pesach HaMeteish for 7 days. Yom HaBalayla, when Yom is Mischaber with the Laila, when Laila is Mischaber with the Yom. In other words, before Los HaShachar till after Los HaShachar, and before Shkia till after Tzeis HaKochavim. When Yom and Laila connect, so if all of the Kohanim, Aaron and Bon, will be Pesach HaMoed, during those manim, it's considered as if they were there all day long. So there's a Magen Avraham in the beginning of Baruch Chaim, I think the first page in Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham says, the Pasuk says, V'hagisa b'yom v'alayla, Pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. It's supposed to learn all day and all night. How is that physically possible? You can't learn all day and all night. So the Magen Avraham quotes the suggestion, maybe it should be mechaber yom to laila and laila to yom. So in all the shuls years ago, when I was growing up, all the shuls the practice was, they would daven mincha before the shkia, so there would be 5 minutes left after mincha before the shkia. So the balabatim would sit and learn for half an hour. They would learn on yankif, or they would learn kitzur shulchan aruch, or they would learn tanach. Whatever they would learn, there would be a shir. And then they would daven ma'ariv, they would be mechaber yom to laila. And then the Magen Avraham recommends, if you can wake up early in the morning, I think he quotes it from the Shalom, you should try to wake up before Alos HaShachar, so to be mechaber laila v'yom. So just like over here, the Yerushalmi says like that, teishu yom v'laila, to be mechaber yom with laila, and laila with yom, it's considered as if they were sitting there all 7 days. The same is true regarding, well, gisa b'yom v'laila, to be mechaber yom v'laila. Yes, that's a good kasha. That's a good taina. I don't know, but the pasuk, the kasha that Yerushalmi asked, is a strong kasha. How can you be there yom v'laila? It's impossible. The Haftarah Parshas Tzav, normally when it's not Shabbos Hagol, Haftarah Parshas Tzav is mentioned singled out in the Gemara. Ola sechem sefu al zivchechem yichlu basar. Mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says you have to have a minimum of 21 psukim in any haftarah on Shabbos, because you have to have a minimum of 7 aliyahs. You can make lesophos if you want. You have to have 7 aliyahs, and each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. So the haftarah has to have a minimum of 21 psukim mechubin keneged, the 21 psukim that are the minimum for the kriyas haftarah. So the Gemara signals out this haftarah. There are many haftarahs like that. It has less than 21. So the Gemara answers, if it's shalom and yona, if the topic is completed at less than 21 psukim, then it's acceptable. Then it's okay. The closing psukim in the haftarah are famous. Ko amar Hashem al yisalel chacham echachma so yisalel gibor bigvur so yisalel oshir bi'ashor kim zos yisalel ha-mesalel Askel v'yadeo osi. Why is that? So the Gemara says in Masechus Nida, before a baby is born, Malach HaMemuna HaRoyan determines whether this baby will be Chochem Otipesh, Gibor HaCholosh, Osher HaOri. So that's a Gzera Min HaShemayim. So no one has what to brag about. That was determined Min HaShemayim. The Malach decided. Alisal Gibor B'Gvros, Alisal Osher B'Yoshro. Chochem Gibor B'Yoshro is decided Min HaShemayim. What is not decided? The Gemara says, "Akol b'dei shemayim chutz meyira shemayim. Yira shemayim is up to you that you have to develop. That's not the Malach doesn't decide that. Kimezosi salel haskel v'yadar osi. That's chutz meyira shemayim. So that the person develops on his own. So that's what the Gemara says, that the Malach determines before any given baby is born whether this baby will be a chachma or a tipesh, a gibra or a cholosh, asher or ani." Yeah, but because it's Shabbos HaGadol, so we have the minig that we say a different haftarah. Why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? It's a different explanation. So one of the explanations is that we say this haftarah from Malachi. And it ends off, but because we end off with the haftarah about the Yom HaShem HaGadol V'Hanayra, that's why we call it the Shabbos HaGadol. Otherwise, it should really be the Shabbos HaGadol. Why do you call it the Shabbos HaGadol? It's not the longest Shabbos in the year. It's not at all the longest Shabbos in the year. The day and the night are approximately equal now. It's the equinox. So why is it called the Shabbos HaGadol? So some say, based on the opening Mishnah, Perek Klal Gadol. It says Klal Gadol, and the Gemara there, that's a Masechus Shabbos, that's 7th Perek. And then the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Zeroyim also, it says Klal Gadol. So the Gemara said the fact that it says Klal Gadol implies that there's a Klal Katan also. So we refer to Shabbos before Pesach as the Shabbos HaGadol, because there's a Shabbos HaKatan also, which is, there's another day that's called Shabbos, but it's not the same as Shabbos. What's that? It says you have to start counting Sfirosam and Mimachas HaShabbos. And the Gemara has a tradition. It doesn't mean that Sfirosam always starts on a Sunday. You have to start counting Sfirosam on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. Because Mimachas HaShabbos means the day after Yontif. So Yontif is the Shabbos HaKotan, and Shabbos is the Shabbos HaGadol. So in order to emphasize the fact that we subscribe to the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that Sfir Simon starts on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, Mimachas HaShabbos doesn't mean Shabbos Bereshis, it means Shabbos HaKotan. So we say the Shabbos before Pesach is the Shabbos HaGadol, and Pesach is the Shabbos HaKotan. Others say that it's called Shabbos HaGadol because the Gadol used to hold the Drasha. The meaning in Europe used to be the Rabbanan only spoke twice a year. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik only held the Drasha twice a year on Shabbos HaGadol, on Shabbos Shuvah. Many Rabbanim like that. That's what they used to say jokingly. The Gemara has a tradition. If the Jewish people would observe two Shabbosim in a row, we would already have the Geula. Which two Shabbosim? So you say, the Gemara says that if he say, I'm a David b'shem Rav, maybe Gula lo'ilam. So the Rabbanim used to hold drushes, he used to steal the Reitor from Svarim. They wouldn't say b'shem Amro. So they said, if the Jewish people would observe two Shabbosim and say, I'm a David b'shem Amro, they would have a Geula already. So that's what it means, the Shtei Shabbosis, the Shabbos HaGadol and the Shabbos Shuvah. Why do you read this? That pasuk, right, is not the last pasuk in Malachi. Malachi is the end of Trei Asa. Malachi ends with a negative note. The pasuk says, "Heishvid leivavus albanim elbanim alavosam panavav hikesi saoretz chorev." It ends off with a very negative note. So we have a practice that yud tav kuf kuf, the four svarim that end off with a negative note, we say over, repeat again a pasuk from before. Hidenech shalech lahem seli anavil b'nei b'yom hashavar la'anoira. That's next to the last pasuk. So this is treyoser. This is the tav. You have a Yeshaya like that, and Treyoser, what a Yud Tav Kuf Kuf. One is Koheles and one is Kinnis, Eicha. So these four Svarim in Tanakh end off with a negative note, so we don't want to end off like that, so we repeat next to the last Pasuk. Yeah, what does it mean? Zichre Teres Moshe Avdi, Malachi, the Malbim points out, Malachi knew that he was going to be the last of the Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlomo HaMelech already wrote Baruch HaKadosh. In Shir Hashem, Mechaimahi Nivna Alayu Tiras Kesef, Mdelvasin Notsu Alayu Achorah. So the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma understands Mechaimahi, Mialu Kachaimah, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first base on Migdash, he knew that it was Osed Lehechorev. That was already told, Moshe Rabbeinu told him this at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. In the Chumash, it's not that explicit. It's alluded to, but it's not explicit. But in Yecheskel and in Tehillim, it's explicit that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, and he told Bnei Israel, when we'll enter Eretz Yisrael, we'll build the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and we will be sent into Golus. So Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was Osed Lehechorev. So he said, Baruch HaKadosh, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash? Will that also be destroyed? Will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? He said, it depends. If everybody will return from Golus Bavel, which didn't happen, 43,000 Jews came back. There were millions of people in Golus Bavel. They didn't want to leave. They enjoyed it in Bavel. So he says, "Im yalu kachayma nimna le'atiras kesef." And the second Beis HaMikdash will be like built from metal. She'en harekem sholed bo. Metal buildings don't rot away. So the second Beis HaMikdash will be everlasting, and the Jewish nation will not rot away. We will continue to have nevuah. But in delasi from Abdallah Salam, hardly anybody will show up. Not so alalu achores, so the second Beis HaMikdash, that tkufa will be like a wooden hut, like a wooden bungalow. Sha'arekim sholot bo. So it means on two levels. Number one, the second Beis HaMikdash will also be doomed to destruction. That's what happened, was destroyed. And secondly, the Jewish people will rot away. There won't be any Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be angry that the Jewish people, he won't send any more Nevi'im to give Musa. So at the beginning of the Ba'i Sheni period, the Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im Olam Moim. Above all, there were only three prophets. Baruch Hashem didn't want to send those three Nevi'im either, Chagas Chaim Malachi. But you can't build the Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Nabi. He sent the three Nevi'im, so Malachi was the last. And he signs off knowing that he's the last Nabi. So he says, Zichur Torah Moshe Abdi. You better observe all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Your Baruch Shalom is not going to send any more Nevi'im to give Tochacha. And then he says, the next Nabi is going to be, the old Nabi is going to be a long wait. Next Navi is going to be Eliyahu Navi. That's over 2,000 years. Malachi was the beginning of the Ba'i Sheni period. That's way over 2,000 years. The next Navi is going to be Eliyahu Navi. That's the pshat in the pasuk. So why do we choose to read this Haftarah on the Shabbos HaGadol? Maybe we call it Shabbos HaGadol because the pasuk says Yom Ba'avashem HaGadol Ba'anayra. Lifnei b'yom Hashem HaGadol Ba'anayra. The Gemara in Erevin says, what does that mean? Eliyahu Navi is going to come the day before Mashiach. The Yom HaGadol Ba'anayra is the day that Mashiach comes. So the Gemara in Erevin has a tradition. Eliyahu Navi will come to tell us that tomorrow that the Melech HaMashiach will appear. But why do we choose to read this? So some Achrenim say that the Ikaminig was really, you have a 7-year cycle for Shemitah purposes. So Erev Pesach of the 4th year and Erev Pesach of the 7th year is the Shas HaBiur. It says in the Chumash that you have a half a year from Rosh Hashanah of the 4th year till Erev Pesach, and Rosh Hashanah of the 7th year, Shemitah year, till Erev Pesach of the 7th year, to give away all the Truma, Maaseh Rishon, and eat up all the Maaseh Sheni. That's the Mitzvah of Biur. So that's the theme of the Haftarah. It says, everybody should bring all of the maestros to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to divide it among all of the Levim. So the minig developed that because on the era Pesach of the 4th year and the 7th year there's a din of biur, that's what the Navi is talking about. They instituted, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and you divide it among the Levim, among the Kohanim. So that's why the minig developed that you always say this Haftarah on the Shabbos preceding Pesach, even the other 5 years of the Shemitah cycle. But the Igam Minig originally started because of Erev Pesach of the 4th year and Erev Pesach of the 7th year. One of the more famous psukim in the Haftarah, Shuvo Elai V'Yashuvo Aleichem, Medrash says that there was an ongoing debate between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ibn Shalom says, you take the first step, Shuvo Elai, and then I'll return to you. And the Jewish people say, no, Hashmein Hashem Eilecho v'noshuva, you take the first step. So he didn't take the first step, we didn't take the first step. Still, no one did the tshuva yet. So the Medrash points this out. This was an ongoing debate. Who should take the first step? Then another famous pasuk in Haftarah, Shafta Merisim Bin Tzarek LaRasha Bin Obin Elikim LaSher Lo Avodoy. We will realize the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, between Ovid Elikim and one is not an Ovid Elikim. So the Gemara asks, aren't they synonymous? A tzaddik is Ovid Elikim and the rasha is Loi Avodoy. So the Gemara says, no. The Ovid Elikim and Loi Avodoy, the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph in Chagiga, the Gemara says, the Ovid Elikim and Loi Avodoy, they're both tzaddikim gemurim. The Loi Avodoy means the one who only chazes the shir 100 times. And Avodoy, Ovid Elikim, is the one who chazes a reverse, who views the shir 101 times. You can't compare. You can't compare one who only does one who only chases the dinim 100 times to one who reviews the dinim 101 times. One who does, that's what the Gemara seems to imply. That's what the Balatanya interprets. The Gemara seems to imply the chok in the yeshiva used to be in the days of the Tanam. You have to review everything 100 times because everything was learned bal peh. They didn't have anything in writing. Torah Shabbat was still being transmitted by Peh. So if a person learns 101 times, that's over and above what he's mechuyev to do. The chok in yeshiva was you only mechuyev to chazer 100 times. So that shows, if the person does a little extra, that shows that he's oved alekim. The other one just does what he's mechuyev to do. He follows the rules, he takes his exams, he passes and shine. That's called loy avodah. And the one who goes above and beyond what he's obligated to do, you have to strain yourself a little bit. You have to be careful not to strain yourself too much. You can get sick. But if you strain yourself a little bit in learning, that's how you'll be successful in learning. So that's how the Gemara has the comment on the pasuk Asher lo yavodoy. Long parsha, Saladin. Okay, so unfortunately, one of the rabbanim in the yeshiva passed away, so the funeral is going to take place this afternoon at 2:00 in New Jersey. Okay.
Then Ligun works through being sorry to say Isser. So then how come Ligun Kal works just because Hagala works during that time?
If Hagala would have been good, it means that the Bliya is not that strong. When you have a Bliya, it's stronger. So if only has a Bliya to the extent that all you have to do is Hagala, so then Ligun Kal will be sufficient to take care of it.
So then, shouldn't it follow, does it follow the same rules that you just need to get as hot as the item got cooked originally? Like, why does 451...
I don't think so. I think you got to be circled in Koma. You have to have 550, 450, whatever. Before that point, you don't want to come second. By Hagola, where it's maflit, and then you say, you want to stop talking. Succeed in being maflited. If it was heated up, the water was heated to the same degree that it was at the time that it was heated. But to be accomplished, the circum and Koma, he followed the Ra'ot, circum and Koma. Balatanya holds like that, the Avlineza. And circum and Koma has to have that, you have to reach that degree temperature. Yeah.